The His Go Friday podcast is brought to you in part by Messenger Fellowship, living the kingdom, fulfilling the call, proclaiming the truth.
All right. Good evening, everyone. This is yours truly, Cameron Fry with His Go Friday, coming at you on a Tuesday night. It's January 2nd, 24. Is officially underway. I don't know about you, but I'm very excited about what the next 12 months will bring. And tonight, we're going to talk about how we can be intentional and purposeful in 2024. And we're going to basically learn together how to abide in our priestly identity at work while on the clock. And that really lines up with what His Go Friday is all about. And for those who don't know much about His Go Friday, we're a ministry, but we're really a content creating, resource driven entity that is geared towards the everyday working man. We started out specifically gearing content to bivocationals, and by that I mean those who specifically were both serving in church, on staff, part of the liturgy. They had specific roles in church, but also in state. They had jobs, their tent-making jobs that they used to support their families and learning how to balance life in ministry and out of ministry. That's how we started 10 years ago. Now we've broadened our tent pegs to include more vocationals and those who have to juggle more marketplace responsibilities. It could be multiple marketplace gigs. It can be church and marketplace. It can look a lot of different ways. We're just not being so specific. So if you don't have a church gig right now, that's fine. I don't want you to tune us out because, well, we're not really involved in the local church. When His Go Friday started, Liz and I were youth pastors in Franklin, Tennessee. We had a youth ministry term of about 6-7 years. So a lot of what God planted in our heart when His Go Friday started, we were in that rhythm. Now, this was before we started having kids and increasing the size of our family. However, I think what God was doing was laying some groundwork, some foundation in those early years, 2014, 15, 16 specifically, for as we have journeyed through time, we've had to learn to become more virtual. We've had to learn to become more adapt remotely, and in some cases, hybridly. There's a made-up word for you. So there's a lot of different ways to be creative in, I don't want to say stitching those paychecks together, although I can relate to that, but just using the gifts and the skill sets God has given you. We want to be a platform that empowers and encourages you to stay the course and to keep going at all costs, and to know it's okay that you have multiple responsibilities, but how you are a faithful steward amidst those responsibilities while also discovering your priestly identity. That is a huge part of what we do, building a bridge for the bivocational or the vocational, the vocationals, and helping them learn how to merge the sacred and secular, how to balance the sacred and secular. And again, the sacred, that may sound like a religious term to you. It's really just learning how to walk with the Lord and discover your Christ-given I am loved by God identity while on the go, seeing work as worship, not just as a necessary evil or a have to, and also learning how to work as worship but not seeing your identity through the lens of your job title. These are just some of the, just off the cuff, some of our pillar points, if you will, as to why we exist and will continue to churn out content like this. Specifically tonight, I want to talk about some thoughts for the new year. Again, this is a very popular time of year for content to be created because people are hitting the ground running. They want to feel inspired and also inspire others. Just as a disclaimer here, we are not influencers, but we also are passionate about walking in influence and helping you mature in your God-given influence. So we are not big in terms of promotion. We just trust that the Word of God will touch your heart and you will take those truths, apply them, massage them. But anything that I say in these episodes, take it to the Word. Don't take my word for it by any means, but in your quiet time with the Lord, make sure to take these to heart by measuring them to God's word, okay? Scaling them to God's word. So the holiday break has prompted some serious soul searching on my part, just being straight up. I love what I see when I look up and I find myself sandwiched between spirit and truth. I am big on mental health. I'm big on exercise as part of my mental health strategy, and I fuse faith into that by quiet time and talking with God, using certain exercise moments to go up the mountain, climb the mountain with God. Lord, is there anything you want to tell me? And I don't want to be so specific, but closing the door on 23 has been difficult because I've found myself very dissatisfied with where I'm at. 23 was a very hard year. This is not going to be a testimonial, but I will say that 23 was the hardest year since 2011 for me. Definitely the hardest year, not in terms of my marriage with Liz, but as far as how long we've known each other. We've been married for 10 years. We hit that mark. Last April was the hardest year. We had a daughter. Her name was Jubilee. She was born as a micropremiox at 21. She passed away last September due to complications at being a micropremie. But it was really sepsis that really did it. That's a completely different story. And we're going to talk about that this year. Don't be surprised if there's some Jubi journey lessons kind of ironed into what we're saying, but we really want to gear a lot of this to the workplace, since a lot of you can relate to what it's like to work somehow, somewhere, some way, right? So 23 was a really hard year, and the theme of 23 for us was learning how to grieve while simultaneously anticipating and hope. We brought in Eileen Nisi, July 28th. She was born last year, and it was the smoothest pregnancy for Liz. It was amazing to see God's redemptive work in action, his plan of hope and restoration for us after losing Jubilee September of 22 in less than a year. Gosh, 10 months. Is my math correct? Yeah, 10 months. We go from losing a daughter to gaining one. During that time, though, there was a lot of tension for me in my workplace, and I was not just clinging to the end of my rope with family matters and life in the NICU, being in there for 400 straight days, but I was also clinging to the end of my rope when it came to some challenging work situations. And I want you to know that dissatisfaction is a perfectly normal and okay state to be in, but only if you're committed to dealing with it head on with the end goal of vertical surrender. Exchanging pride, fear, unbelief, among other things, for repentance. Again, we're bringing God into it. We're not abandoning holy pursuits for our personal gains. We are truly being like, God, how do you specifically want me to stop and turn around and about face in certain areas that need that, that require that if we are to grow and mature and take next steps in 2024? Conviction without a compass can quickly turn into self-centeredness, self-hatred, self-something. You can fill in the gaps. But God's grace and mercy are the antidotes to those things, to anxiety, to guilt, shame. And some of us, we feel overwhelmed. We maybe stiff arm the resolutions or risk-olutions because we're like, I don't want to feel those things anymore. And I don't want to set myself up to fail. I'm tired of setting expectations or even worse, projecting them onto others. And I'm constantly overwhelmed by the amount of failure that I feel. Some of it's more fear of rejection. Some of it is fear of failure. I don't want to fall short, so I'm not even going to try. We need to, and it's true to a point. We shouldn't try. We should see victory as already established, and that's going to be something I come back to. Seeing the victory is already established before we even get going, and seeing the end goal as we are there. We have to get there, yes, but there's also a measure of we are there because that's how God sees us. He sees us as ultimately getting there, but it can't be by our own strength. Again, we have to learn how to be horizontally reliant upon those put in our life for specific reasons, but also more importantly, the vertical reliance piece, walking and abiding daily with the Holy Spirit and walking hand in hand with God. We must understand the best way to approach a new year is to turn to Jesus, run to God, take inventory in the context of faith, honesty meets humility, and community, be it a best friend, mentor, or spouse, find people to talk to about your resolutions or risk solutions, your goals, your hopes, your aspirations, your ambitions, it's perfectly normal to have those things. But if they're based in self, pride, ego, just it's okay to want to be better. But what is really the motive? What is the basis for that? It needs to be a pure pursuit. It needs to be an overflow of discovering God, wanting His highest, His best, manifesting your life, executing that for the sake of loving others and being encouraging and passionate to other people. Some of you, it's benevolence. Some of you, it's servanthood, just giving up something of yourself, be it your time, money, resources, energy. It needs to be that whatever pursuit we aspire to in 2024 needs to be selfless. That's what I'm getting at. So this pod, again, is an overflow of that practice. And for the record, I don't want to suggest a motion I'm not already engaged in or haven't tried to confirm its effectiveness. All right. There are three basic camp profiles when we classify the marketplace spheres we find ourselves. One is the desert, two is the wilderness, and three is the palace. My work story, my work testimony the past decade, I've journeyed through the first two, essentially. I've worked in the state, that's the desert. I've worked in the private sector, that's the wilderness. My current locale, I've only been in my new job for 4 or 5 weeks. The verdict's still out, but to me, whatever camp profile I'm in now, it's pretty much obsolete, since what matters is the presence and purposes of God. Not to sound spiritual cliche, but it's true. The presence and purposes of God does not hinge on what camp profile you find yourself. We're defining some basic categories so that we can know what God may intend for us in 2024. So some of you are like, well, that's random. You're just jumping right into these profiles. When really it's like we need to know where we are. We need to be real about where we are if we're going to be real about changing our hearts, our mindsets, our paradigms, our perspectives. Again, any pursuit, any exercise or physical demonstration of our belief system, we have to know where we're at and be real with that. The most important thing you can do is to be humble and real and vulnerable and transparent with your loved ones and with God in this time. Because this is a precious time that we're in, the first week of the new year. Now, going back to the presence and purposes of God, obviously we can't wield these things, but we can enter into them, worship within them, and yes, recognize our priestly identity. As 1 Peter talks about several times, actually, our priestly identity within them. If you follow this channel, again, you know we advocate a work as worship mindset, the ultimate template set forth in creation. Seventh day being a day of rest, and as seen through the fourth commandment. Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This is largely why we exist and seek to encourage the weary worker of America to keep going, even if they feel unseen and underappreciated. So as for what sphere you're in, you may not know exactly. Maybe it's a hybrid, but again, location is secondary to the fact God has a purpose for wherever you're at. He does. No question. He doesn't lead us aimlessly outside divine intent. If you're struggling where you're at, that's okay. Don't automatically make 24 a year in which you change everything on your own terms. The way I frame it, don't manufacture your own reset if you're craving a reset. Let God refresh you first in your heart and know the difference between refreshment and reset. There's actually a blog post. I'll put a link in the description. It's one of the more popular ones, knowing the difference between renew, reset, and refresh. And I encourage you to check that out after this pod is over or next time you have a chance to read. Any decision you make must be born through prayer of the Spirit and executed as an overflow of following and discovering God. So take it slow. Don't be in a rush. Tomorrow will take care of itself. If the culture and or nature of the work is wearing you down, if you're coming in just overwhelmed like you were most of last year, again, that's fine. Don't beat yourself up over it. If there's physical, emotional, mental, spiritual wear, again, there's an escape, there's an avenue for you to pursue change or healing in certain cases, but it's important to not stay silent. There'll be times where you need to be vertically reliant and to be still, and those times, yes, silence has a place. I'm not saying don't use discernment and just share how you feel with everyone and be transparent that way. You have to know the parameters and the places for when to speak up. But I think for some of us, we are so used to not saying anything, and we repress, we suppress, and we eventually set ourselves to sort of explode or overstep or leak out at some point. I know that's been a struggle with me at times over the years. And so a lot of what I'm saying in the past couple seconds, I've had to, I'm preaching to the choir here. Sometimes it's not so much a fear of conflict resolution. Really, it's like, I don't say things because I'm afraid of overstepping. And so, but the irony is I end up overstepping down the line when I get so worked up to the point where I just need someone to know. And all it takes is a series of unfortunate events. One of those days, you know, where it like lights a match, where everything that could go wrong is going wrong and Murphy's Law is in full effect. And suddenly, it's not like you've sabotaged anything important, but you've said something that really needed to be kept to yourself or within the confines of a mentor or directly with your supervisor, and you've now overshared or overcommunicated something. So we're not talking about like large scale major impacts or repercussions. We're talking about something super small and basic and something that is easily forgivable. But I want to encourage those of you who are feeling physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually beat up, don't accept silence as the default solution. Communicate your concerns to God first. Like, run to God with those anxieties and really integrate Him and what He wants to tell you into that game plan, that strategy. Figure out a course of action through your family, mentor, counselor, dear friend, and carefully consider how you discuss this with your supervisor at work if needed. Of course, if you're not sure how to move forward, pause and pray. Often the answer we're looking for is some version of stay the course. If you're wondering about making change in 2024, start with God. How do you intend for me to stay the course? Don't assume happiness is just simply switching your setting. Now, again, I'm going to share openly from experience, whether it's 9 times out of 10, 19 out of 20, 95 out of 100, to stay the course or some variation of that is often the answer when I'm starting to go down that rabbit hole of, do I need to change something that I do? Do I need to change a practice? Do I need to change something that could have a large-scale domino effect? And a lot of times it's no, I just need to tweak a mentality or take a fear captive, a thought captive, bring something to the feet of Jesus and light a torch to it, really, like as part of an act of sacrificial praise, burnt offering, if you will. And this is partly inspired by a recent conversation I had with my dad. I think there are times where we have to light a match and take something that we're feeling and light it on fire at the end of the day and just surrender it and be like, you know what? I want to sense that there's positive momentum here, that there's positive change ongoing, but at the end of the day, you have to lead me, and that's just part of me surrendering my ideas. And if this is just like, okay, this is not the way forward, the flesh is wanting this, but I'm not sensing this is the go time or the go move, then there needs to be a release and a surrender that we do so that we can open ourselves up to receiving what it is that God wants us to do and to focus on. So, and that's just a metaphor that works for me. It may look different for you, but the point I'm making is start with God. How do you intend to be me to stay the course, assuming that's your intent? If you want me to change something up, if you want me to switch something up, make it known by a word, a dream, a vision, a supernatural radical peace that transcends all understanding. So in 13 years as a working professional, I've made 2 large-scale vocational moves and 3 to 4 smaller-scale decisions that involve the change of team or department. Even in toxic environments, I've had to give myself some leash, slack, and permission to be faithful as God is faithful, and that's a pretty important thing. The nature of the culture around you doesn't have to dictate your actions or your belief systems. But certainly, as you're contending with the Lord, as you're seeking to compose your resolutions or resolutions, you need to tell yourself, I'm going to be faithful and committed just because that's who God is. I want to be a reflection of who God is, so I'm going to stay faithful and committed and work hard. If leadership is your thing, don't stop continue to be a leader. And again, just, I know I'm going to say it a lot on this podcast, but inquire specifically of the Lord when you have any doubts or concerns. Sometimes you have to scale back your leadership a little bit. It's okay to take less initiative for a time as you kind of sort things out on the side. But start this year by focusing on what is constant and how you should fashion your belief system accordingly. And to me, the faithfulness of God is high up the list in terms of how I want to live my life, being a faithful steward, a trustworthy steward, a dedicated steward who is selfless and is constantly giving of himself. So I know change is a sexy term this time of year. I've already mentioned that. However, if the move you're looking to make is inspired by chasing or craving, void filling, making sense of your surroundings, you need to find a way to screen that intent against the word to make sure pride isn't driving the motive. Just because you may be in a bad spot, and I've been in several in my working career, don't assume you have to get out and manufacture that reset. Even if you feel overwhelmed by disunity and dysfunction outside your control, you feel like you're caught up in these funky undercurrents at work, see them as release points and not as reasons to escape. Here's why. You may be part of the plan to bring some degree of stability, restoration, even healing in your environment. You may have some growing left to do that requires next level challenges at the cost of imminent rejection, real or imagined, gossip, clicks, poor leadership management, things outside your control. You have to learn to trust God during the chaos sometimes, and crisis, that's the silver lining of it. I know it's painful a lot of times. The list could go on. I'm only, again, listing some examples, but you may find yourself starting this year in a whirlwind, and you're just like, I would love to see change happen. This is sort of where I was last year, and also in 2019. Those were the only 2 years in 14, gosh, I'm going on 15 years of being in corporate America, I think so. 14, 15 years as a working professional, I've hit this point of the year, and the Lord has been like, yes, this is going to be a stay of the course year. But he makes it very clear to me when, hey, change is coming, get ready. And that's only happened twice. So you could see how the math adds up. He'll be faithful to make it known one way or another. So you never have to worry about trying to decipher God if you're daily walking with him. But don't discount. Here's where I'm going with all this. Don't discount or disregard the Daniel, David, or Esther in you, where you get to be a rock to those around you. You get to be a voice of reason and stability. You get to shine as a leader. You get to be trusted as a vessel that is not relying upon himself and his own strength, but is allowing his faith to shine, but isn't forcing the issue either. Watch and see what God will do. Here is his word. Here's what he's telling me. Here is my conviction. And sometimes you're low man on the totem pole, so it's take it or leave it. But again, screen, even if the concerns are not so much within yourself, so to speak, where maybe your concerns are outside yourself and you're like, I have just concerns about where this company is headed or how, this program or this initiative. I want to see us succeed, and it's based in not so much profit, but in ministering to the needs of people. And I don't know if this is the best, most efficient plan of action. Again, bring God into the equation of how do I communicate this regardless of my role. We probably should devote a separate pod to how we actually deal with those conflicts. But for now, consider your love by God identity. Consider that you have value to offer. And I'm going to say this probably every pod that I do. We are all co-equal in value, but we're diverse in function. And not, for some reason, most companies out there don't believe it, or they believe it, but they don't really practice it. They don't show the evidence of believing it. They're operating within a corporate vertical hierarchy when really, when you apply the reality that we're co-equal in value, diverse, and function, it's more of like of a horizontal matrix. And we're parts of the body. I love the Corinthians word picture there. We are all parts of the same body. We all have an important part to play. And we really need to respect each other and honor one another by being humble in how the parts intersect. So hopefully, when you factor all of this in, this will help you thrive to start 24, not survive or strive. That's a huge passion of mine right now. It's a huge burden of the heart that whatever we talk about on here, that we're helping you thrive and further removing you from any surviving or striving you're doing. Remember, even if you're not employed by a company that's anchored to these truths, you could still minister peace to the hearts of those around you. But I encourage you, as this time of year compels us to consider, we need to make sure that our pursuits are pure, and it's more than just good intention, but it is truly resolution/risk-olution inspired by the holy word of God, so that his heart will be known to his people and his kingdom will be established on earth as it is in heaven. Until next time, let's burn the boats. This is Cameron Fry. I'll catch you next time. Peace.